The Exchange Daily Podcast is brought to you by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The state Senate today is expected to pass a budget that includes cuts to two business taxes known as the BPT and the BET. Although the rate reductions themselves are small, the idea has stirred up a large controversy. That's because in a state with no broad-based income or sales tax, business taxes are extra important, providing 25% of New Hampshire's general fund dollars. Republicans have backed these cuts as an economic development strategy, while Democrats have said the resulting loss in revenue would hurt public investments. But while that debate's been simmering all session, just recently another business tax cut proposal was floated. The New Hampshire-based company Planet Fitness threatened to leave the state unless the legislature changed the way taxes are assessed on firms when they go public. Today in The Exchange, taxing businesses in the Granite State. How it works now, how some want it to change. Let's hear from you. We'd love your thoughts on this question. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have two guests with us in studio. Bill Ardinger is here, shareholder and director of the Tax Practice Group at the Rath, Young & Pignatelli Law Firm. Bill, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Also with us, Jeff McLynch, executive director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, an independent nonprofit that researches public policy. And Jeff, welcome back to you, too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to turn to you first, Bill, just to clarify a few things. There's a lot of names and acronyms thrown around in this conversation, so let's just clarify. BET, BPT, what are these? Who pays?
Businesses pay both of the taxes. The business profits tax was enacted in 1970. It applies to business profits, a type of income. The business enterprise tax was enacted in 1993. It is, believe it or not, in New Hampshire, a value-added tax, and it applies to the value added by each business, including, to some extent, some certain nonprofit organizations.
And just remind us, because you were involved in this, 15, 20 years ago, I think, Bill, creating this BET, business enterprise tax, because some businesses felt the business profits tax was unfair. You're leaving out a whole group of folks that should have been taxed.
I think it's fair to say that the business profits tax applies to businesses who actually have lots of capital, and they earn profits for third-party shareholders. The business enterprise tax, on the other hand, applies to every business because it applies to a combination of their value added by their labor, by their capital, and that includes wages.
Okay. So it captured sort of law firms, private doctors' practices.
Accounting firms,
and
absolutely.
So forth, who aren't making strictly a profit. They're plowing it back into the business. But the feeling was, okay, they should be captured too.
All businesses, the feeling was, all businesses should contribute something to pay the cost of government.
Well, and gentlemen, and I'll throw this to you first, Jeff McLynch, the number 48th in the nation is quoted a lot in this conversation about business taxes, that the Tax Foundation has ranked New Hampshire 48th in the nation for corporate tax competitiveness. How do you view that, Jeff?
Well, that's a number that's thrown around a lot, but it's a pretty selective reading of that report. If you look at the report in its entirety, the Tax Foundation finds that we have the seventh most favorable climate for businesses in the country. But that's sort of a more subjective ranking. If you look at more objective factors, and there's a study that's done this for about a dozen years now, put out by a group called the Council on State Taxation. And what they do is they look at all the taxes businesses pay, not just the business profits tax here or corporate income taxes in other states, but they look at the property taxes businesses might pay or the gas taxes that they might pay. And in order to make comparisons among states, they look at it as a share of the overall economy. on that basis, business taxation in New Hampshire is relatively low. Our effective rate works out to about 4.4%. The national mark is 4.7%, and our ranking is lower than about 30 other states in the country.
So look at that with a grain of salt. Take into account the fact that maybe our business taxes might be on the higher side, Jeff, but we don't have an income tax, we don't have a sales tax, and so forth.
Well, if you look at sort of the composition of taxes that businesses pay, they're a lot like you and me. The biggest tax that they pay in New Hampshire is the property tax. It makes up about 45% of their overall tax bill. Now, that may vary from business to business, but that's what the overall mark is.
So I want to go back to you, Bill, in just a second. But how do you feel then, Jeff, about this proposal to lower business taxes?
Well, at the outset, you described the rates as relatively small, and I think the rate decreases is relatively small, and I think people might think of it that way. But the consequences for the state budget could be quite large. In this next biennium, if those rates are reduced, the impact is going to be a loss of about $23 million in general funds. That's more than we've budgeted for the Department of Safety from the general fund next biennium. Once they're fully implemented, the loss will be in excess of $90 million each budget cycle. That's more than we appropriate for the community college system at present. So there really would be trade-offs if those rates go into effect.
Okay, and I want to get back to you on that. But, Bill, what do you think? How about this proposal to lower the BPT and the BET?
I like the way Jeff's looking at it. Provide it in context. You can't simply look at just the business profits tax and compare it to corporate income tax. You've got to look at the whole picture. Do tax cuts matter for business? The answer is, from my personal experience representing businesses over the years, yes, they do. Are they the only thing that matters? No, they're not. So the legislators, the governor, have to make a decision about context. There's no question that tax cuts are happening all around us. In Massachusetts, they've reduced their personal income tax substantially, well in excess of what are proposed here. In Rhode Island, they cut their business profits tax from or corporate income tax from 9 to 7. That is, you know, a 22% reduction, much greater than here. At the federal level, President Obama has proposed reducing the corporate income tax from 35% to 28% and congressional Republicans from 35 to 25. Everyone is worried about the context. Do taxes matter? Do tax rates matter? Yes, not the only thing.
I think President Obama talked about it in one of his recent State of the Union addresses, the corporate tax rate and so forth.
You cannot view your own jurisdiction alone. You have to look at it in context. And one of the things that jurisdictions compete for capital and jobs with over is business taxes. And so reducing business taxes in New England, where New Hampshire has found itself feeling like it's not recovering the way it has in the past from the recession, the question is our business tax situation competitive when other states in New England have reduced theirs?
What do you think, Jeff? Can New Hampshire afford to be the lone holdout here?
Well, I would agree with Bill. The context is important. And in the case of Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they were able to reduce rates, but only as part of a much bigger set of reforms. And in the case of Massachusetts, those reforms actually raised business taxes considerably because they broadened their base by adopting a reform that's already in place here in New Hampshire. And so, as I said before, you know, business taxes in a larger sense are already relatively low here in New Hampshire. I don't know that we're going to be able to compete or should compete on that basis. We should be competing on the things that truly matter to business. Things like the quality of our state's workforce, having a robust and well-maintained infrastructure, and maintaining a high quality of life. And, you know, I can't say that I advise individual businesses, as Bill does, but, you know, if you look at the academic literature on this, there's little evidence that reducing business taxes is going to spur economic growth over the long run.
Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Exchange listeners, let's hear from you on this. Should New Hampshire lower its business taxes to become more competitive, more attractive to businesses that might want to come here and expand? 1-800-892-6477. Again, is the number for you to join us. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Our guests are Bill Ardinger, shareholder and director of the Tax Practice Group at Rath, Young & Pignatelli. Also, Jeff McLynch, executive director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, an independent nonprofit that researches public policy. Bill, question for you. What's this really about? Is it about attracting and retaining, expanding businesses, sort of biggering the economic pie? Or is it about helping businesses that are already here, you know, they get those cuts and maybe they hire more people. Maybe they, you know, invest in a new product. I mean, what is this really about?
Both.
Both.
In today's world, we have unbelievable competition among jurisdictions globally, right, with China, India, the United States, and state to state. Very brutal competition. You want to be able to attract new capital to your state so that it will bring new jobs. Imagine back in Governor Merrill's in the 90s when Fidelity Investments of Boston was deciding where to locate, and they located a facility in Merrimack. That's been a terrific benefit for 5,500 workers. It also, in Governor Shaheen's administration, was a wonderful thing to have C&S Wholesale Grocers move from Vermont to Keene. That's attracting businesses to New Hampshire. But we have to keep our existing businesses like BAE Systems, and 85% of our workers in the state, our labor force, is employed by private sector enterprises. So it is important to compete to try and attract new and keep our current.
Well, and in a moment, we'll be talking to two state senators and get their take on this topic. But there's a question I want to ask you, too, Bill, that I will throw to them. What do you think about Jeff's point that the resulting loss in revenue would take away from the very public investments that businesses say they want, you know, roads, good schools, and so forth? You know, there's a balancing act here.
You've said it. It's a balancing act. And what we're talking about, every business, and this is one place where Jeff said something where I think I may disagree with them. Every business that looks at making an investment in a location, looks at a financial spreadsheet that looks at after tax, what am I going to get for my investment? So do taxes matter? It is absolutely true that taxes matter. But if you were offering a jurisdiction that didn't have police or safety, the business would not want to come here. So to that point, I agree with Jeff that other infrastructure and public expenditures matter. Very often for businesses, what matters are things like making sure that you have a fair and good system of public education, a fair and good system of treating those with developmental disabilities. And those are important balances as well, and that the business community strongly supports.
The Department of Revenue Administration just this week looked closer at what this would mean fiscally. It said $19 million less for the state in 2017, $31 million less in 2018, $35 million less in 2019. Do those numbers sound like they would be cutting into those investments severely that you talk about that are important, Bill?
The answer is you can't have tax cuts without having a reduction in revenues in your budget in the short term at the very least. The fact is those numbers that you've read say, let's do as a rough one of in the middle, $30 million. The total expenditure is $1.4 billion. So does that matter? Yes, about 1% of the total. And that's part of your balancing act for our wonderful elected officials they have to make today.
All right. Well, coming up, we'll talk to some of those wonderful elected officials that you mentioned, Bill. And we'll take your calls, questions, comments as well. Stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the idea of cutting two of New Hampshire's key business taxes. Some say this is long overdue as other states around us cut their corporate tax rates. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us on this question. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests for the hour are Jeff McLynch, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, and Bill Ardinger, Shareholder and Director of the Tax Practice Group at Rath, Young and Pignatelli. And Jeff, to you, just before the break, we were looking at numbers that just came out from the Department of Revenue Administration, talking about what you talked about, the loss in revenue to the state if these tax cuts go through. But what about the idea that these estimates don't take into account the economic growth factor, Jeff, that if businesses do indeed decide that New Hampshire is a great place to come or a great place to expand, and we see increased economic activity, the pie gets bigger, so there's more money to go around.
So this is not surprisingly a question that other states have grappled with in the past. And some of the really careful research that's been done in states like Arizona and Oregon and California suggests that for every dollar that you cut taxes, you're likely to recoup just 15 cents of that in additional revenue. So that means we would be losing revenue over time. And more to the point, What those studies have found is that the means by which those funds get recouped are via the sales and income taxes in those states. Needless to say, we don't have those mechanisms here, so it's unlikely that we would be recouping those losses.
Wait, can you connect that a little bit more for me? Okay,
sure.
So 45 cents, so, right, you still lose out.
Right. So if the idea is that we're going to spur economic growth by cutting taxes, part of the way that that gets reflected in terms of state coffers in other states is by higher personal income taxes, by people who might get hired or get raises, or by greater consumption in those states. That only happens to a very small degree, they've found, but we also just don't have the mechanisms to recoup that.
What do you think, Bill? So you may recoup a little in those states, but they do so with an income tax and a sales tax, so we don't get that benefit. So there's doubt by Jeff and others that this is really going to expand the economic pie.
Again, I don't want to get into the kind of political discussion where you hear a debate on this. What I'd like to say is that taxes matter to business decisions, without a doubt. It's not the only thing. And when we attract new businesses to the state with new jobs, you have more economic activity. The goal of Governor Hassan, the goal of Jeb Bradley, Senator Bradley, a Republican, is the same. Grow the garden, which includes not just government employees like state government employees who are hardworking and wonderful, but also the private sector. That's how our state stays strong. And in fact, government wants to see an active private economy because the business taxes are almost $600 million worth. That's almost half of our total state budget, general fund budget. So they want to see the growth. I think having more business here paying taxes, the BET is a tax that they pay regardless. It has a base that's very broad. I think, you know, you could easily there's not a politician who would say, I'd rather have less business activity.
Well, and you mentioned Senator Bradley, and Senator Bradley is with us on the phone now. He's a Republican from Wolfboro, Senate Majority Leader, and lead author of these bills to cut business taxes. Senator Bradley, thank you very much for taking time out with the budget on the floor today. I know this is a busy one for you.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So why do you think, Senator Bradley, that these taxes need to be lowered, the BPT and the BET?
Well, I think, couple of things. First of all, in terms of our corporate tax rate, the business profits tax, we're the 48th highest in the nation. And I have a sheaf of letters from businesses around the state of New Hampshire saying that, you know, in order to remain competitive, we have got to be more competitive with, in particular, the states around us, but the rest of the country in terms of our high business profits tax and our business enterprise tax. And so I think what we've developed is a very responsible way of, over time, not losing a significant amount of revenue over the 7 years that the tax reductions would be phased in, but at the end of that period of time, becoming more in line with the rest of the country so our high business taxes don't stick out like a sore thumb. And, you know, other people would say that, you know, we need to deal with high electric costs or workers' comp costs or health care costs. The fact of the matter is we need to deal with all of those cost items, but we can't ignore the fact that our business taxes, you know, are as high as they are and are increasingly put New Hampshire at a competitive disadvantage.
Well, to the point that how much does this matter to businesses, you served, Senator Bradley, on a commission to study business taxes, which issued its final report last fall. And the report said, based on 4 years of study and testimony, that it concluded that New Hampshire businesses do not consider the current BPT rate as a primary factor in making decisions to expand or locate within the state. So I wonder what you think about that.
It is one of the decision points. It may not be the primary point, but along with those other cost items, health care, we're among the highest in the nation for health insurance costs, high electric costs, something I've worked on for virtually all of the time I've spent in the state house, and high workers' comp costs. Those are the four big items, but business taxes are one of them, and they're a driver. And so, you know, as I said, I have a whole range of letters from, you know, the largest manufacturer in the state, BAE Systems, to the High Tech Council, exactly the kind of jobs that we want to have in New Hampshire, well-paying high-tech jobs, all advocating for lower business taxes to make New Hampshire more competitive, so that, you know, we're not going to be able to lower it down, you know, to 4% from 8.5%, but if we can at least get it under that 8% level for the business profits tax over time, not all at once, because, you know, Jeff is correct, it does have a revenue impact. That's where I think we need to be. And I think, you know, the fact that we phased it in over such a long period of time is very responsible. And like a lot of other things, and people are probably going to be paying attention to the debate on the Senate floor today, you know, I think the Senate budget has established a range of priorities, from funding initiatives for families with disabled children and Meals on Wheels to, yes, lowering these very uncompetitive business taxes. And that's why I think it's a budget that helps the economy, but also meets the needs of New Hampshire citizens.
Well, to the point about the revenue impact, last fall, again, this commission that I mentioned that you served on did say a near-term material reduction in business tax rates may be impractical in view of New Hampshire's current fiscal constraints. What do you think about that, Senator Bradley? Did you disagree with that conclusion?
No, I don't disagree with that, but that's exactly why we phased it in over so long.
Slowly over
and
time.
I think, unfortunately, Laura, don't have the report in front of me. We're meeting in a caucus right now, and it's on the table in there. I should have brought it with me to read some of the sections, and I'm sure, you know, Bill Ardinger can read some of those sections where it said it would be a good idea to lower business taxes because of the uncompetitive nature of them.
I'm sure you're, as we said, familiar with the Department of Revenue Administration estimates, lost revenue. That's a concern that keeps coming up. Do you, Senator Bradley, have your own counter estimates of how much this business pie might expand, this garden that Bill Ardinger describes might grow, so that we don't see those revenue declines?
Laura, we have accepted the revenue estimates of the Department of Revenue Administration, which was about $14 million in fiscal 17 when this phases in. Now, I do think that over time you will see what's known as dynamic scoring, so that if we are successful in attracting new businesses as a result of, you know, making New Hampshire more competitive, not just on taxes, but, as I said, on a range of issues, electricity prices, et cetera, I think we will see better business growth, and, you know, that will come into effect at that point in time. But we have not based passage of these tax reductions on an improving revenue structure like that. We've accepted the fact that there is going to be like funding for different priorities. I mentioned Meals on Wheels or families with a disabled child. That costs money too. And I think, you know, to make New Hampshire more competitive and do it over time, do it responsibly, there is going to be that revenue impact. But I think we've phased it in such a way that it's very, very manageable. And, you know, in an $11.3 billion budget, this $14 million of reduced revenue is a very, very small percentage.
All right. Senator Bradley, I know you got to go.
I appreciate it, Laura. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah.
That's Jeb Bradley, Republican Majority Leader of the New Hampshire Senate, which today is voting on its budget, which includes what we're talking about this hour, and that's possible cuts in New Hampshire's two key business taxes, the BPT and the BET. You can join us 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. And Jeff and Bill, I'm sure you've got some thoughts on what we heard from Senator Bradley there, but I did want to bring in this email from Tom in Peterborough, because he raises a point we haven't talked about yet, and that's who might benefit from these cuts. Tom says, as a small business owner, I'm certainly not a fan of taxes and would welcome any reduction that makes a meaningful difference in my ability to expand. He says, however, the cuts proposed by the New Hampshire Senate seem to be all pain and no gain. They are touted as a way to boost business in the state, but Tom says, my $1 million business will save only $150 a year. That's not going to prompt me to hire more people or invest. He concludes by saying larger businesses will save more, but the percentages are the same, and 93% of New Hampshire businesses are smaller than mine. This is a complaint, Bill Ardinger, that I've seen elsewhere, that this is really about the biggest of the big and that the little guys won't really benefit.
I would disagree strongly with that on two fronts. Number one, the story, if you look at any individual story on anything, an increase in spending on a particular budget item will have a very small impact on any one individual, right? That story is not telling the real policy decision that has to be made, which is Massachusetts imposes tax right now at 8% on their corporate income tax. We're at 8.5%. On that one competitive point, we are disadvantaged. And when we're disadvantaged at the margin of our whole economy, we will lose activity. If you look at Massachusetts' growth out of the recession that we just had, they have exceeded New Hampshire's growth significantly. That they used to be called, you know, back when I was 18 years old and in the legislature, Taxachusetts. They're not reputed to be that anymore. And the fear is that on all of these issues, you've got to be competitive. So the individual story, while it might not be the whole thing, on the economy as a whole, it's going to matter.
Okay, real quick to you, Jeff.
Sure. Just to respond to the emailer's concern, the data that we have from DRA suggests that there are 1,100 businesses in New Hampshire that account for 68% of the business profits tax bill and business enterprise tax bill. Those are by and large multinational corporations. If you cut taxes for them, they're going to take that money and invest it where it is most profitable. It won't necessarily be here in New Hampshire. It won't even necessarily be here in New England. It could be in Hong Kong. It could be in Sydney, Australia. We don't know where those dollars are going to go, but if we keep money here in the state by investing in the state's higher education system or something along those lines, the return will be to New Hampshire.
What about the idea, though, that, okay, maybe those big companies don't reinvest immediately in the state or in their community, but they're encouraged to stay? Maybe they're encouraged to set up another office here.
Sure. I think a really interesting report that came out just in April from a very widely regarded source, the Tax Policy Center that the Urban Institute and Brookings Institution maintain, looked at this question about the relationship between taxes and economic growth. And what they concluded, that there's very little relationship between state taxes and state economic growth. And what they did find that was particularly interesting is that different sources of tax revenue have dramatically different impacts on growth, with property taxes exerting a negative impact and personal and corporate income taxes having a positive one.
Well, we spoke just a moment ago again with Senator Bradley, Republican Majority Leader. We go now to Jeff Woodburn, Senate Minority Leader, a Democrat from Dalton. And Senator Woodburn, thank you for your time as well. Again, big day over there.
Well, thank you for having me and bringing this great conversation.
Well, we've been talking about this theme that, all around us, states are reducing their business taxes, and New Hampshire's starting to look like a holdout in terms of higher corporate and business tax rates. What do you think about this competitive disadvantage? Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly these are areas that we need to study and think about and move with deliberate care. There's great concern that I'm hearing out there among folks about income equality, about the opportunity gap, and how those that have the most are benefiting more. So, we need to grow our economy. We are a successful state. We don't have an income tax. We have high ratings through a lot of these different areas. But the notion that the wealthiest 1%, a tax cut for them that would really blow a hole in our budget is really something that we need to be concerned about. And just last week, the process of Governor Benson coming in with a Planet Fitness executives to try to expand another opportunity. We need a process that looks at all of the challenges, all of the issues, and try to encourage growth and economic activity, but not at the expense of our budget, not at the expense of those who have the least in our communities and society.
Well, and we just talked to Senator Bradley, and, to quote you, Senator Woodburn, at the expense of our budget. Senator Bradley and others say, okay, yeah, in the first year it would mean 14 or 15 million less, but over the long haul, you would be encouraging business expansion, again, watering the garden, as Bill Ardinger put it. So do we really know that it would be so costly, as you say it would, over the long haul?
Well, I look across the country, and I look at states that have cut the business business taxes and other taxes for the top, the trickle-down approach. And I don't see a lot of evidence that they're succeeding. I think the evidence is clear that those communities, those states that are investing in their people, that they are raising minimum wage, they are expanding Medicaid, they are investing in education, you know, health, in areas that, that we know are wise, smart investments in kids that, that we need to be successful and grow their businesses. When the young man came in from Planet Fitness, it was a great story. I mean, he was like a UNH grad. He built his business here in New Hampshire, I think in part just because he went to UNH. I mean, that is the reality for many. And as I think I heard some of the other, is that there's 1,000 reasons why companies develop in a certain place. I don't think it's exclusively a tax issue. It's a quality of life issue. It's where do you want to live? What kind of people do you want to have? But what we look at is the wealthiest 1% giving Walmart and other corporations a discount on their taxes. I don't know how that encourages growth. If we want to target it, you know, I'm proud to be the sponsor of the Balsams bill to encourage that kind of economic activity. That activity will produce results. It will not produce profits that will be taken away and distant. This will put people to work, and it's investment at the bottom that will raise opportunities for people across the board, not just those at the top.
Well, Senator Woodburn, here's an email that came in from Rob, and so I'll give it to you. He says, while it is true that you cannot have a tax cut without a reduction in revenue, it's also true that you can still have a balanced budget by reducing spending on the other side. Rob says, cut corporate taxes so we can attract new businesses and keep those we have from fleeing to greener pastures, and cut the fat in the budget. Rob says, sounds like a win-win to me. So cut the budget and give, what do you think? And then taxes for businesses so they can grow.
I live in the North Country. I go to Groveton, the most depressed town in the state of New Hampshire, a place where their business was making money, the paper mill was making money, and they closed down the doors. They restricted the land that paper could never be produced on it. I don't look around and say, we're doing too much. When I get a call from a former student of mine's mother whose son died of a heroin overdose, and I can say the best that we can do in the state of New Hampshire is to keep doing what we're doing, keep the small, modest investments. There's more that we need to do. We need to build our economy from the bottom up, not the top down. There, how do we make these wise, efficient investments in people, like the GI Bill a generation ago,
right,
that produce great results?
Senator Woodburn, I've got to go let you go.
Thank you
very much for taking
time
out.
Thank you for your opinion.
Bye-bye. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at New Hampshire's business tax structure in light of proposals being discussed today in the state Senate to lower the state's two key business taxes. And we'll talk a little bit later about the possibility of creating a carve-out for a New Hampshire business that wants to go public. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jeff McLynch is with us, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, and Bill Ardinger, Shareholder and Director of the Tax Practice Group at the Rath, Young & Pignatelli Law Firm. And Jeff and Bill, let's go right back to our listeners. Peter's joining us from Cornish. Hi, Peter. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you all?
Hi. I'm guessing this is Peter Burling, former state senator.
That would be me.
Go ahead, Bill. Peter.
Hello, Peter.
The issue here is sounding a lot like Republicans like business, Democrats don't. I'd like to suggest that everybody, Republicans and Democrats, like business. They want more business. They want more jobs. Democrats object to the notion of carving out revenue and giving it back to companies that are demanding, give me more, give me more, give me more. Democrats like the idea of investing in our infrastructure, building a new rail system that would make us competitive in terms of transportation, fixing our roadways, repairing our bridges. Those are the kinds of things that can't get done if what we're doing is saying, okay, $14 million business, you can have this. I'd like to go back to the point that was made at the start of the program. New Hampshire's overall tax burden on business is among the lowest in the nation. That's what we ought to be saying. if you want to do business, come to New Hampshire.
Overall, total, because of the lack of sales and income, Peter?
Yeah, and lower property taxes and lower cost of living, quality of life. These are the things that make a difference. You know, I'm not even going to get into the Planet Fitness fight. Bill Ardinger was completely right about that.
Well, let's talk about that, actually, if we could, really briefly, because, again, the big focus today is what's happening in the state Senate. But we should talk about this Planet Fitness headline that just came up recently. And just to fill folks in, again, this is a New Hampshire-based company. Jeff Woodburn alluded to this. Set up headquarters in New Hampshire, had huge success, expanded all over the nation. And then Bill Ardinger just recently said to the legislature, you know, we want to go public. Sell shares, basically, go from being a privately held company to a publicly held company. But if we do so, we're going to pay a big whopping tax bill. So, legislature, please change this for us.
Well, let me make clear first. I'm an attorney. I do not represent Planet Fitness. I don't know their situation. However, they are a symptom of an underlying breakdown in our complicated technical tax law that needs to be addressed in a report done by New Hampshire Coalition for Job Creation, in the Committee on Study Business Taxes that Senator Bradley and you spoke about. Both of those reports said we've got to fix this one broken issue that imposes business profits tax when a business attracts new investment so it can grow. That's a bad potential uncertainty. Planet Fitness may not have done it right coming in at the last part of the session, but they're focusing, in my view, personal view, based on long years of representation, on a very important issue. New Hampshire should not get a bad reputation for how to collect new business. So every startup, the mom and pop, the mid-range company, or a company that's selling shares to the public, we shouldn't have a negative impact that puts us very non-competitive to other states.
So right on policy, you think, but wrong on politics, the way they presented it.
I am not going to speak about the way they came into the state house at the very end.
Jeff?
I guess I would argue a couple of points. One is that, as we talked about throughout this conversation, that tax policy is really about trade-offs. And so far, there's been no acknowledgement whatsoever that changing the law for Planet Fitness in this fashion would entail trade-offs in terms of what we're able to invest in as a state, whether for higher education or transportation or health services. There's been no acknowledgement of that. The other thing that concerns me is that if you look at the experience of other states, providing a particular business or industry with preferential treatment does not guarantee the intended results. If the law is changed in this fashion, there's no guarantee that Planet Fitness a year from now, 2 years from now, for reasons wholly unrelated to tax policy, moves to another location. And they'd be perfectly within their rights to do so, but we will have spent potentially millions of dollars trying to keep them here. The track record from other states is a very cautionary tale. In the 2000s, North Carolina provided about $250 million worth of tax incentives to Dell to locate there. Dell built a plant there, but within 5 years' time, completely shuttered the plant and left the state altogether. Now, states have structured some of those deals so that they can recoup some of their losses via taxes. There's been no discussion of that whatsoever so far in
this
particular
debate. Well, we will set Planet Fitness aside for now. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, that's what the state Senate is doing too, right? They're not dealing with this.
No, they've passed the bill.
They have passed the bill.
Well, I take that back. The Finance Committee has approved the bill. It will be on the Senate floor later today.
All right. I stand corrected. We will set that aside for this conversation right now, but definitely talk about it as it goes through the process because it's interesting. Let's go back to our listeners, though. Lots of people want to jump in our conversation. Romeo's joining us from Nottingham. Hi, Romeo. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much, Laura.
Sure.
We have to compare our state to other states. The first thing is we have a high business tax because other states have sales tax and income tax to augment the taxes they collect. We don't. We can only provide a certain amount of services as a state, just like any other state. And the way we do that is to collect higher business taxes. Now, I am a developer with my brother of industrial properties here in New Hampshire, and we have lost an awful lot of big companies that wanted to come to New Hampshire. However, when they examined the tax structure and saw a high business tax, they said, well, North Carolina is attracting us even better, so that's where we're going. Now, understand that a business doesn't really care too much about sales tax or income tax because for the most part, that's not something they're paying. The individual is paying them. The employees are paying sales taxes and income taxes.
I see. So that's not as big a selling point as you might think.
But if we're passing all of the cost of the budget onto business taxes, a business looks at it and says, it's too high in New Hampshire, plus the electricity, plus the property taxes, which are all related.
Okay. Romeo, thank you very much. And I'll turn to you, Jeff McLynch. He's saying, you know, it does matter, these business taxes. The income and sales and lack thereof doesn't help as much. He's also making a point that Jim Roach made of the Business and Industry Association, that New Hampshire already has a couple of hits against it, including high property taxes, high energy costs. So help us out, Romeo is saying, and at least reduce this business profits tax.
Yeah, I think that dynamic plays out in an interesting way that isn't fully appreciated, which is to say, as we talked about earlier, the largest tax that businesses pay is the property tax. And over the last 10 to 15 years, we as at the state level have substantially reduced the amount of local aid flowing to cities and towns and local school districts. That in turn puts greater pressure on the property tax. We've seen property taxes rise by about 15% in inflation-adjusted terms over the last decade. So if the property tax is the largest part of the business tax bill in New Hampshire, and we are pushing more heavily on that tax because of decisions made at the state level, what have we really accomplished for businesses on the whole?
Well, thank you for the call, Romeo. And here's an email from Tom. I'll throw this to you, Bill Ardinger. He says, cutting business taxes will end up with the state cutting spending elsewhere to make up for the deficit. That, in turn, will push those expenses down to local government, who will raise property taxes. Businesses also pay property taxes. How about proposing a decrease in all property taxes statewide? Tom says, I'm tired of the excessive property taxes we already pay. We got a call on Monday, too, Bill, from a businessman who said, never mind about the BPT or the BET. He says the property taxes are also his biggest business concern. I wonder what you think.
I agree with those comments. I agree with what Jeff said. Not just property tax, but the sales and use tax. Businesses in other states pay tax on a use tax with their inputs. In Massachusetts, for example, New Hampshire is competitive in that area because we don't have a sales and use tax. In property tax, we are competitive with some New England states, but not with states like Georgia or North Carolina.
Where they're a lot lower, right?
A lot lower. However, you can't take anything for granted. You've got to compete on each front. Remember, this is really not, in my view, partisan. President Obama has proposed a dramatic corporate rate reduction on our federal income tax from 35 to 28 because Sweden is at 22 and the UK is at 21%. The fact is we've got to fight for competition with a global economy that's very competitive for capital. Capital flows like water across borders today in a way that it didn't do 30 years ago. We have to compete on each ground. Being 8.5, Senator Bradley said a sore thumb. There's a messaging point there. There's a branding point. We can't be the highest in an area, or else we risk having that message overwhelm the very positive message, like that Peter Burling said, that New Hampshire brings to the table, and Jeff said about, you know, how competitive we are in other areas. But to have a sore thumb that attracts and drains all the attention, that's a risk that I don't think we should take.
Jeff McLynch, what do you think? We've been talking about, you know, the squeeze on businesses from what they feel is high business taxes. We've heard about, you know, complaints about high property taxes, not just for individuals, but also businesses say this is another concern. If New Hampshire had an income or a sales tax broad-based like most states, would we even be having this conversation?
Well, I guess I would return to sort of a point about where business taxes sort of rank in the overall hierarchy of business concerns and business costs. Most of the research that's out there suggests that, you know, while taxes are a concern, they're a very small overall share of costs, and so they look to other costs, labor costs, transportation costs, and so forth in making decisions. And we need to compete not on taxes but on those areas where we can make a real difference. And if we reduce business taxes here in New Hampshire, we're not going to be able to compete in those other areas because we're going to lack the resources to do so.
But Romeo, our caller, said he takes businesses around to industrial real estate, says, hey, do you want to come here? And they say, your taxes don't look that good.
Well, and that may be because of the industry he's in. If property taxes are particularly high here because we've reduced local aid over the past 10 years, that's going to have an impact. And I think, you know, throughout this conversation, we've heard discussions about the potential impact, and Senator Bradley attempted to minimize the potential impact, saying it's a fraction of our larger budget. But $14 million in the short run, or really $23 million with the latest DRA numbers, really has a meaningful impact in New Hampshire. When you think about it, we are not providing $12 million in this budget to allow the state to continue with the health protection program throughout the final year of the biennium. By not providing that $12 million, we're going to lose out on hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds.
So even if it sounds small, it's worth a lot when you talk about those matching federal dollars?
That's just in the short run. The impact of those business reductions is going to grow substantially over time, to the point where it's going to be $90 to $100 million out of each and every future budget. And Senator Bradley portrayed that as responsible, that we're putting off the cost to another day. I would characterize that differently. To me, by putting off those decisions, you're putting off the trade-offs that are going to have to be made onto future legislators, onto another day when the trade-offs won't be as apparent as they are now.
Do you want to jump in there, Bill?
I want to step away from the, you know, this kind of discussion, which gets a little bit partisan, and just say that businesses employ people. 85% of our workers in this state are employed by business. We know they're a key part of our
garden. Private sector businesses.
Key part of our garden. Economists since the mid-90s have said that corporate taxes, taxes on corporations, whereas before they were thought to be borne by capital, they're not borne by capital. They're borne by labor. Why? In an open global economy, capital moves and domestic workers lose jobs. The number one thing is you can't make business taxes, and I don't think the Senate Republican position has proposed to reduce taxes to 5% or 4%. They proposed to reduce it a little as part of a mix of trying to bring all issues together in a balance. And I, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world. Do I think it's going to be the make us the most competitive tax in the country? No. But it'll reduce by moving to 7.9%. Will be lower than Massachusetts 8. That takes one argument out of the mix for the developer.
Let's take another call. This is Jonathan in Manchester. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Good morning. Hi, Laura. I would love to be a guest in 2 or 3 years with Bill Ardinger on the panel there. This is my first. I know I've heard him there before. I think the first time I caught his name. I would like to guarantee or ask if Bill is not in his late 60s or early 70s, first of all. Is that true?
Jonathan,
or?
Can you ask your question? I don't know this is
well,
really
it,
about
it
Bill.
It has to do with generational divide.
Okay.
It has to do with generational, and that's why I wonder, because okay. I wonder if he's actually talked to any millennial business starters, people in their 20s, early 30s, and what they really want. Because the state has gotten, you know, it's reductive in its thinking, and I know there's a big push, and he says he doesn't want it to be partisan. But there's a big push for less money to come in here, and they haven't thought about it. They turned away the casino, which is not necessarily the cure-all, but it's a thing that would have brought in money and jobs just to start with. And they don't really want money to do it, but you need money to create infrastructure. The reason people go to North Carolina and will stay in Massachusetts at half a percentage point taxes is because the infrastructure is better. Even North Carolina, they've invested in the tech infrastructure there since the mid-90s. New Hampshire has done no such thing, and it's kept it privatized. So if you want to bring businesses here, it's just not a realistic view. He wants to believe it is, and I know that's he's talking about even business plans from the mid-90s. It's changed in the last 5 years, never mind the last 15 years.
Well, and Jonathan, let's talk about that real quickly, because this is the sort of core philosophical idea that we're wrestling with here. And I guess to you first, Bill, but Jeff, I want to hear from you too, the idea that New Hampshire is growing, but slowly. And people are saying, look, we need a tax system that fits right here, right now.
I agree completely. Unfortunately, I am aging at 55 years old.
With any luck,
caller.
It happens to all of us.
Yes, but I have an opportunity to work with many businesses, venture capital businesses just starting, and I sell New Hampshire's benefits like you wouldn't believe. Great public schools, competitive tax system, a good, stable system of laws and rules. And I think as long as everybody keeps working hard to make those changes and make it very competitive and balanced, we will be the attractive state that will grow faster than our competitors.
Jeff, real quick.
I think New Hampshire is a great place to live, but to keep it that way, we're going to need to invest in our future. We need the resources to do it.
All right. This conversation is going to continue, I can tell, gentlemen. Real interesting. Thank you very much for being here. And Jeff McLynch, good to see you. Thanks
great
for your time.
Here.
Jeff McLynch, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute, an independent nonprofit that researches public policy. Bill Ardinger, thank you also for being here.
Thank you very much.
Bill Ardinger, shareholder and tax and director of the Tax Practice Group at the Rath, Young & Pignatelli Law Firm. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. Our senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Faith Meixel and Jason Moon. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Christina Phillips, and I'm Laura Kanoy.